Hello and welcome to the All Humans Are Human podcast, season 5. Welcome to the third episode of the Charge C series. Today I'm so stoked I get to be here with the one and only Rodney Norman, who's a comedian, he's a philosopher, he's a psychologist, he wraps them all up into amazing, beautifully packaged, digestibly packaged life teachings, and we get to record a podcast.
Yay!
I was just saying my favorite line of Go Be Weird. This is the Go Be Weird, the one and only. So thank you.
I'm the Go Be Weird guy. Yes.
Among many things. Also the Go Do Stuff guy.
Yep. I'll be honest with you. I've said so many things that I forgot most of them.
That's fair. How can we be expected to remember them? That's what recordings are for.
Absolutely.
Then we can kind of keep some track of it. I think if we remembered all of it, I wouldn't be happy if I remembered everything.
You know, I've known a few people in my life who have photographic memories, and they are not happy people.
That's rough. Okay, so we'll go right in philosophy and psychology and comedy. Ignorance is bliss. True or false, Rodney?
I do believe so. In fact, I think whoever structured this world and structured this life, I think that was a part of the plan. Because, you know, most of reality we aren't even privy to it. We can't even access the majority of the things going on around us. We have a very limited spectrum of, you know, of light and energy that we can tune into, and there's so much else going on around us that we can't even access. So to think that we have any semblance or a full understanding of what's going on is laughable. So yes, I think the part of the design is for us to not know everything.
Absolutely. I love the using light and color and sound spectrums of just everything being physics and it being the same thing, that we only are aware of a certain amount of the spectrum and mostly we're ignorant to it.
Yes, anyways. There are very, very small bandwidth that we have access to, and yet we think we can figure it all out. It's quite hilarious.
It is quite hilarious. I definitely, there's a part of me that wants to push back or feels like of the stuff in that spectrum that we can know, that, well, I agree and feel badly for your photographic memory friends. I do feel like there's a happy medium of being too unaware that feels no good either, like the just burying my head in the sand of the visible spectrum.
Uh-huh.
Where do you land on that one?
Well, I think, you know, when you... you know, like when you start a job and you don't know anything about what you're doing, they give you a very limited, your expectations are very low. You know, they don't expect you to do certain things. And as you grow, you get better and better, and you expand what your capabilities are, and you become more valuable and you become better at your job. You know, those things. So I think that this whole life is sort of an introductory course into reality. And so we're kind of getting a good feel for it, but we're still toddlers for the most part. We're still in daycare. You know, we're still in the nursery in the eternal spectrum of things. And so when we get up and we start pontificating about all the reality that we are totally aware of, and it's like, no, we aren't. You know, we're still in nap time in the big scheme of things.
I love this. I completely agree. Emotionally, toddlers, most everyone, everybody at some moment and in whatever.
Yeah, I mean, look at, you know, the way we handle world conflicts. This is how toddlers behave.
Exactly.
It's childish and it's ridiculous.
It is. It is. It's so funny and so sad at the same time. I could sob and laugh about it equally, because it is. It's literally how toddlers do conflict resolution. That's mine. This is mine. That's my spot. That's my part of the sandbox.
He hit me first. Yeah. He hit me first. He started it.
Yup. Yup. Okay, but then that almost implies you think we're going somewhere else then? You know, if this is a kindergarten.
Oh,
then...
I do believe so. I believe this is just a rest stop in the eternities. And I think it's an important thing, but I think we put too much importance on it. You know, we have this sort of this mentality of, well, we got to get this one right or it's over. You know, we either go to heaven or hell sort of attitude. And I just have never bought into that. And I think most of what people try to teach you, they're just trying to get you to try to force you into their belief system. And it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't resonate true, because it's not true, you know.
Ooh,
and every time people are so sure that they're right and that everybody else is wrong, that's where we have the problems. The world doesn't have problems because people are wrong. It has problems because everybody thinks they're right, you know. And so we're always fighting about who's the writer of the rights.
So fucking true. That's on my list of favorite Rodney Normanisms. Is people fighting over the correctness.
Yes.
And the wanting to act like they can see the whole spectrum instead of admitting that we all only see it a bit.
Yes. Well, you know, I one of my favorite stories when I was a kid was the story of the 10 blind men who come up to an elephant. And so they each touched part of an elephant. And one's like, hey, I think this is a snake. And there's this, how are you talking about? This is a tree. And the other says, no, this, you know, it's a rope. You know, they all 10 of them have a very different perspective as to what it is that they're experiencing. And yet they're all true. They're all right. But at the same time, they're all wrong. And, you know, this is where I think people downplay cognitive dissonance as a bad thing. I think it's a brilliantly beautiful thing that we all experience, because we can hold, you know, different perspectives that seem to contradict each other. And yet when we step back and see the whole picture, we see how it all fits together. You know, the 10 blind men, as they're arguing over who's right, they're all pretty convinced that they're right because of what they're experiencing. They must be, you know, everybody else is a bunch of idiots because they can't, they're not experiencing what that guy's experiencing. You know, and instead of somebody just going, hey, wait a second, this doesn't all make sense. Why are you experiencing that and I'm experiencing this? And then just kind of moving around and everybody taking in everything. And then we all go, oh, okay, there's more to this than what I was experiencing. If we could all just realize that that's what life is, you know, that we're all just experiencing one little slice of it, one little piece. We don't see the whole thing. But yet we think because what we're experiencing is true to us, that that's true to everybody else. And this is where we all fall into that, these various traps that we do. And, I'm having fun just pointing it out to people. It's just like, we don't know. I mean, I especially like people who are like, I'm a scientist and I believe in science and I must see it for it to be true. It's like, no, you don't. You can't see. You could not go and give me your 10 favorite things about science and be able to show me anything that you know, because everything you know you learn from some book written by somebody else you don't know. But yeah, you're gonna sit there and mock everybody else who believes in a book that somebody else wrote. It's just nonsense. It's just complete nonsense. We're all running around here blind. We have no idea what's going on. We're making it up as we go. What that brings down to it is, well, then, okay, what is it that we are supposed to learn here? well, I think we're supposed to learn how to play nice with each other and love and respect each other. And until we get that figured out, we're never going to get any of this figured out.
Amen. Also, if you ever run for president, I will vote for you. For the record. So true. All of it's kindergarten wisdom. How do we play kindly with each other? How do we treat people with respect? How do we share our toys and share our lunch?
Yes. How do we just be...
I love the story. I got so excited about the elephant story because the metaphor is so good. And it's so extending to, we're all talking about the same elephant in the room. People are fighting like they're talking about a different elephant or different things, and they're all touching and talking about the same fucking elephant.
Absolutely. But they refuse to listen to anyone else's perspective because it's like, oh, no, you know, the guy holding on to the tail is absolutely positive that this is the whole thing. This is the all of reality. How could anybody else experience anything different?
Yep. Which, again, is that kindergarten lesson of the classroom of kindergartners learning that they have the option to work together as a team and all share what they're seeing, feeling, perceiving, not seeing in the blind men story, but that if they all work as a team and share their knowledge, that maybe they'll know more than if they all just say their one little piece of knowledge is the end-all be-all of all knowledge forever.
I am right. I am the source of all that is true and correct in this world. How dare you? How dare you question my authority?
It's fun to point it out to people like that, too, just impersonating them, being like, this is what you sound like.
Yes. I mean, you know, I have my perspective as to what life is and where I think we're going. And I love sharing it with other people, but at the same time, I know I could be wrong. And I always hold on to that I have my faith, I have my beliefs, but I think if you're an honest person and you honestly are seeking the truth, you always have that within you that I could be wrong and I'm willing to be corrected. And as long as you have that kind of that childlike bewilderment towards life, it's a lot more fun, a lot more enjoyable than when you come up with these rigid ideas that you have to be, you have to conform to all of this or nothing. And it's, that being right is just exhausting. I remember hearing a thing, people are going to war and they're always concerned, well, I hope God's on our side. I've heard people say, well, I hope God's on our side. And I hate that idea because it's like, I'm not concerned about God being on my side. I'm concerned about myself being on God's side. I'm concerned about being on what's truth. Not just me being right. I want to know that I'm on the right side, not that I'm not here to get all my thoughts confirmed. I want to know the truth. You know, I want to, you know, and getting people to feel that way and open that way, it's kind of a weird thing because I don't think everybody grasps what that means.
No, not at all. Yeah. That reframe just of how you phrased it, I also could see like a sketch comedy of people going into war, being like, I hope God's on my side, and God being like, your question's wrong. Like, back it up. What are you doing?
Yeah. How about God's not happy with either of you, any of you? Sorry. How about both of you are wrong? That's the other thing is everybody thinks that there's a right side, there's a wrong side to every issue. And it's like, that's hardly ever true. Hardly ever true. And look, you could both be wrong. And I think most wars that occur and most fights that occur, most disagreements, both sides are wrong to some degree. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And both sides need the other side in their existence in some way. Like there's often a I'm thinking now about the C for this episode of charge and positive, negative, neutral charges and just the spectrum of charges and the need for there to be the variety or people seeing people, the blind men touching different parts of the elephant is just how the room is set up.
The elephant is
bigger than the people are. And that's just part of it.
Yep.
But the kindergarten thing is really a big thing. And the I want to touch back on when you were talking about people worshiping science, because I was totally one of those people. And I definitely see and also enjoy questioning and laughing about people who are saying the same thing with, like, they're just holding up a different book, being like, this is the book with all the answers.
Yes.
Everything else you're saying is the same.
Yep. Well, you know, it's Hitchens that had the spectrum of belief, and you have like the people who are absolutely positive, sure of that God and religion is true. They have no doubt whatsoever. There's those, and then there's, that it's complete, you know, they're just all in totally. There were the radicals over, and then there's the next step is just sort of, well, I believe, but I could be wrong. And then there's, kind of agnostic, could go either way. And then you have people who are like kind of agnostic, but kind of lean towards there not being a God. And then there's the, oh yeah, there's absolutely no God. There's no, you know, there's no way. It's interesting because both ends of that spectrum, the I know for sure and the I know for sure God and religion and the I know for sure in science, they both have the exact same ideas about life. I mean, they are both just radicals who are guided by little to no information, but just think because that's what they believe that that's what's right. And it's always been funny to me because it's like those are both people are completely devoted to faith because the only way they can know anything that they think they know is entirely on faith. But neither of them believe in that they have faith because they believe that they know for sure. And it's always made me laugh.
I love that. That's also such advanced, high-level people watching. Like, seeing, you're, like, watching them being like, you silly, beautiful human. Don't you realize? Don't you hear yourself? It's true. I'm the same way about, and I obviously and will continue working on my own know-it-all and human desire to know tendencies.
Yes.
And the more someone says they know everything and they have all the answers and they're never wrong, the farther I walk away. The more I'm
just say, oh, okay, that's nice. Because they're also the ones that want you to give them money.
So true. Which, okay, so then some of the times when it's that type of person who does that and then has some money request or other kind of labor request with it, then that immediately to me pierces some hole in the veil of, oh, they're acting fully on faith. Because I'm like, I don't know, actually, you sounded like you were really fully believing this, but now I think you're really having faith to money and the money or the, you know, whatever labor or energy that someone's looking for.
Yeah, that's what it just seems to always, it always just turns into a bunny grab. Because, you know, people are looking. People are searching for something. And when you come across somebody who has total confidence that they know for sure, that they're absolutely sure, it's easy to get people to believe in you because they want to believe in something. And if you come across as being just a smart person, put together, someone that someone can believe in, people will believe in you because they want to believe in something. And they may not be able to see the whole thing, but they can see you and you've got it all together and you're confident. Well, then why not believe in you? You know, so it's easy to get people to follow someone. And And then they start aggrandizing themselves and people start worshiping them. And then we have, you know, kinds of cults. It's funny to me that with all this information, there's still more and more cults out there than ever before. You know, you would think there's that we would have figured it out, but no, there's even more and more cults than ever before.
That is very interesting.
More segregation.
With the more information.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Internet, more misinformation of the internet or more ways people can fall victim.
Well, you know, because the internet is really just, I mean, it has great things. It can accomplish great things, but it's also, I mean, any ridiculous idea you can think of, you can go out there and find support for it. And you can get a justification of what belief you have. You could go find it and you can filter out all the other stuff. You can ignore all the things that you don't want and you can create this, your little slice of reality is exactly what you decide to make it. And you can accomplish it on the internet because the algorithms are on your favor. If you, I don't want to hear anything about this subject, then you won't hear anything about that subject. You want to hear all the positives about this, then you'll hear all the positive about that. That's why we have such absolutely strange ideas out there that people are willing to believe. And it's also, it's kind of pulling back the veil as you see the lies that have been perpetrated by governments and churches and organizations because they're trying to get to manipulate people. Well, now you see through their lies, but then you see people who just learn from what they learned from that, and they just start incorporating it into their own. So then they start creating their own version of reality, getting people to follow that. And I mean, it's kind of a, you know, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. That's how we are with information. We have so much, it's such an overload of information. But how do you know what of it is true? It's hard to, you know. I mean, yeah, like I said, it's a blessing in some ways, but it's a curse in many others. Well, I always ask myself when I see something, is this beneficial to me? Is this going to enrich my life? And if it's not, you know, like gossip about people and like what Taylor Swift is ever doing, the Kardashians, none of that is important to me. I just don't care. I just ignore, you know, that kind of stuff, just not important to me. But also just like news in general, the only reason that news ever say anything to you is because they're trying to get you to think something or believe something. You know what I mean? It's all designed to manipulate you, and they will emphasize the stories that illustrate the world view that they want you to have. You know, they want us all to, be fearful. They want us to have some anxiety, because when you're in fear, you'll do things to get out of being, to protect yourself. Yep. And then, so they're always providing a problem. At the same time, they always provide a solution. And that solution is always buy this or vote for this person or, you know, whatever. So it's all designed to just kind of keep you in check. But never giving you, you know what I mean? It's just, they're all, that's why if it bleeds, it leads. You know, it's always, the news is always full of stories of death and murder and horror. And yet, the vast majority of things that go on in this life are actually very positive. People doing really nice things for people all the time. But you hardly ever hear about those stories. And then you do, it's just a feel-good thing. Gets a couple thousand likes and, oh, that's cute. And then you move on to the blood and guts. But we're just kind of kept in this cycle of fear. So we think that the world's getting worse and if somebody's out to get us, and if you don't, that group hates you and they want to take everything away from you. It's like, no, that guy wants to take everything from both sides. It's coming at us from every angle. So we never really quite sure what's true, what's real. And so we're always in this state of confusion. And all it does is just build us up with anxiety and depression. And when we finally just see through it and stop listening and just live our lives and be happy, it's so much nicer. You know, just enjoy the people you're with. Enjoy the moment that you're in. Just enjoy life for what it is. And, you know, just don't let everything get you down. I mean, if there's something you could do to help others, then you would. You do. It's, you know. But that's the other part of it, is that, you know, I was thinking about this today. I was getting some groceries, and now you can't get, I live in Connecticut, and you cannot get plastic bags at all. So you have to bring your own shopping bag, or now they're allowing you to have paper bags. And I'm so happy about the paper bags coming back, because when I was a kid, that's what we had. We had the paper bags. And then one day, they decided that paper bags were destroying the world and the world was going to come to an end. And it was all because of paper bags, because we're cutting down trees and we can't continue this because we're going to cut down too many trees and we're all going to die. Oxygen's going to be going away. And so we got to use plastic bags. So then we switched everything to plastic bags. Well, now plastic bags are destroying the earth and destroying the world. And we keep using plastic bags for global warming and carbon and blah, blah. So we got to go back to renewable sources. So we got paper bags. And I just, as I was walking out of the store today, I thought, you know, to get you to make a change in your life, they have to create a crisis. That way you'll go along with it. You're willing to be inconvenienced if you think you're doing it for a good cause. So they have to create all these horrible things so that you'll do something different to get you to change. But then it becomes that problem now is that they're crying wolf about so much that it's like, when real issues come along, nobody cares or pays attention, because it's like, okay, here we go again, you know? Yes, they want us all to think alike. They all want us to look alike. They all want us to do everything alike. They want all of our food to be the same. They all want us to drink the same stuff. They eat the same stuff, have the same hairstyle, listen to the same music. They all want us to have the same amount of money. They all want us to live in the same. They want us to conform and be like everybody else because we're easier to control. They don't want us to stick out and stand out and be different, because that you can't control those people. You can't control the artists and the free thinkers and the ones who take chances and who make risks, they don't want any of that. They want you to be a good worker bee, show up when you're told, do what you're told, enjoy the things they tell you. You know, here, watch this ball game and you'll, and your life will be just fine. Don't you worry about that stuff here. Just here, watch this mindless nonsense garbage. Here, worship this guy because he's really good at throwing a ball. Hey, look, this guy can put a ball through a hoop. Hey, look, this girl, she can dance. And, you know, it's just all bread and circuses. And I think we're all starting to see through it. It's like, you know, and we're just tired of hearing the same garbage and the same nonsense. Yep. Yeah, where's my next meal going to come from? What, you know, am I going to survive till next week? Yep, and you'll see that they're, you know, we're in this weird process of destroying the middle class right now in this country. And it just breaks my heart because you see what they're doing. They're just destroying it. They're just sucking the life right out of it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I said they're great. No, go ahead. Yes. Yeah, just keeping everybody in the one lane. Well, now they're I think that they're, you know, a lot of these places they're losing control, and so, you know, more and more people are wanting to live off grid. They're wanting to grow their own food. They don't want to have the corporate existence, as it were. They want to work at home. And then, you know, I think COVID was funny because people realized they could work at home and they enjoyed it. They enjoyed being with their family more than hanging out at the office with a bunch of people they don't, they barely know. It's like, I could stay at home and get the same work done, you know, and more people are looking more into being entrepreneurs and creating their own little cottage industries So now they're trying to find ways to stop that. You know, they're going after the Amish farmers for producing healthier food. It's a big deal in Pennsylvania right now. They're constantly going after the Amish farmers because, you know, they don't use any pesticides or anything. It's all natural, very organically made food, grown food. And the government's trying to just completely shut them down, saying, you have to process it. It has to go through all these things. And meanwhile, not a single person's gotten sick by any of this food. Not a single person's complained about it. But the government's involved in trying to put an end to it. And more governments are trying to, you know, stop. But there's a big movement of people doing gardens in their yard instead of growing grass. You know, we spend thousands of dollars and thousands of hours every year growing grass that does nothing but just, it's just pretty to look at. So now people are digging their grass up. They're growing gardens in their front yard, and local governments are trying to put an end to it. It's like, it's crazy. It's like, why would you stop this? Well, you know, it's, well, but they keep everybody in check because, you know, the people who are doing it aren't really the ones making the decisions. It's just, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job. Yeah, it's amazing. But I think that more and more people are waking up to all this and going, oh, I don't want to live in this the cookie cutter life that they want us all to live in, you know, live in small apartments and live all together in centrally planned communities. And it's all just a bunch of, people that, you know, pseudo intellectuals that think that they know better than everybody else. And they came up with this grand idea. We're all going to live in big, tall apartment buildings and wear jumpsuits and be happy about it. And I don't know. It's just, yeah. Soylent Green, Brave New World. Yeah, just be you. Be authentically you. Live your life. Don't worry about trying to please the government, please your family, just be you. The world needs you to be you. The world needs your weirdness. The world needs, and you need to be happy. You know, a lot of anxiety and depression comes from trying to meet the expectations that you don't want to. Trying to be forcing yourself to live a life that you don't want to live, you know, trying to live an authenticity it's not authentic to you. You know, I know so many people are like, oh, they have this, all this anxiety and all these fears and all this depression. It's like, well, what are you doing with your life? You know, well, I got to go to work so I can pay my bills. And all this, and it's like, There's your problem. You know, you bought into this nonsense. You're trying to fit into a hole you don't fit into. Yeah, very, very early on. I mean, I've worked jobs, you know, because I needed money, and I enjoyed doing stuff and meeting people. So I would enjoy. I never hated jobs, but I knew it was not something I wanted to do forever. I didn't see the joy in just trying to, you know, get into some corporation and dedicate my life into, you know, selling crackers or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I've just always been a very, you know, individual thinking person. I just didn't want to be a corporate mindset. I just wanted to be me, wake up and, you know, decide today, what do I want to do today? And not have to wake up and, you know, I got to be at work at 8. I got to do this. You know, I've just never, it never appealed to me ever. And, you know, it's, that's why I got into just philosophy and comedy, and because I could just do what I want. And sure, I'm not rich. I'm not making a whole lot of freaking money at it, but paying my bills, and you know, I'm getting along, which is all anybody else is, you know, trying to do. But at least I get to do. I'm probably just as poor as everybody else, but I get to do what I want to do. You know, and to me, that's I was like, I learned early on. I thought that I was motivated by money. You know, when I was younger, I was all the idea of having my own business and making millions. Okay. I'm still here. There we go. Oh, no problem. But I realized that I was not motivated by money, you know. Every time I kept trying to do all the, you know, get rich things, I had no heart into it. You know, most of it's all just selling things, you know. And my heart just wasn't into it. I just, when I finally had that realization one day, and when I finally just said it to myself, I'm not motivated by money, it changed my life. It changed everything, because I stopped pursuing things for the sake of making money. And then I just started pursuing things for the joy of doing it. And that perspective there, that saved my life quite literally. Cause in this pursuit of trying to get rich and be all those things, I was miserable, cause I wasn't, if I did succeed, then I was a failure. If I did succeed at being rich before I was 25, I was a failure. And that's how I felt. And when I realized money doesn't motivate me, and I just let all that go, that's when I really started to embrace what I really felt about life. You know, it was like, it was sort of, it wasn't like, oh, I discovered something new. I just went back to what my true core was, what I really believed, what I really cared about. And once that happened, you know, everything started really, you know, like I said, I'm not rich. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm doing things I enjoy. I'm doing what I love. And I'm just, you know, I'm happier. And I just want to help everybody else do the same. I think about getting into, you know, public speaking and motivational speaking, but it's kind of funny because the people that hire you to do that kind of speaking, they want you to have a message of, hey, here's how you make more money, and here's how you be a better person so you're a better asset to the corporation. And I'm like, that's not my message. You know, that's my problem is I would consider myself more of a demotivational speaker. You know, I'm not here to tell you, do more before 6 a.m. than most people do all day and to be successful. I don't, that's nonsense. That's just because you're more active doesn't mean you're more successful. Just means you probably have some insomnia problems, you know. You have some abandonment issues that you haven't taken care of from back when you were 4, you know. I don't know what their deal is. But And just, you know, they don't want to pay you to come and give a motivational speech where you open up with, hey, money doesn't motivate me, and it probably doesn't motivate you. And that's why you're depressed and anxious. Because everything is telling you to make more money to be happy. I'm telling you, making more money is probably going to make it miserable. Because, yeah, what? Yeah, and like I said, I have nothing wrong with that. I believe that you should be able to go and do that if you want to. That's fantastic. As long as you're doing it honestly and you're doing it legitimately, you're providing a service or something that people want to have, and you found a way to do it better than everybody else. God bless you. I hope you make a lot of money. But yes. Yeah. When you realize that, money is a good thing. I don't have anything against it by any stretch of the imagination. But when you get away from that mindset and then you just start focusing on doing the things you love, the money will show up anyway. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And you know, I've always seen, you know, that God, in it, whether you believe in God or not, that this whole reality that we're experiencing is a beautiful gift. Regardless of where it came, whether it were just a bunch of series of happy accidents that created us naturally, or if we were designed by a divine being, regardless, the fact that we're here and having this existence is an amazing thing. It's a brilliant gift. And it's a gift that we get to do whatever we want. We get to be whatever we want. And some have used it to manipulate, control others. And we've fallen into those traps of being controlled by other people. But ultimately, when you take responsibility for you and your life and your actions and your mental state, when you own it and you say, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want to do, the way I want to do it, I'm going to bless the lives of others, I'm going to make the world a better place because I want to, not because I have to, not because I'm trying to please some entity. I just want to do it because it brings me joy to just make the world a better place and make other people happy. It's an amazing gift. It's an amazing thing that we're here. And I want to help people see that. I just want people to realize that. And it's funny because people get mad at me because they say I oversimplify life. And I always like to point out that, you know, the problem is that people, for whatever reason, they think that the words simple and easy are the same thing. and they're not. Yeah, we have to work hard, and we have to, you know, and there's nothing wrong with hard work. I'm all in favor of working hard, but just working hard for the sake of working hard, you can spend your time doing a lot of nonsense that accomplishes little to nothing. But you know, as I say, the answers are simple, but it's not necessarily always easy to accomplish. You know, it's like if there's a big, huge boulder that lands in the middle of a road so that nobody can travel. And it's, you know, there's this 4-ton boulder in the middle of the road. Well, the solution is we need to move it out of the road. Yeah, that's the simple answer. Is it easy to do? No. But is the answer simple? Yes. Let's move it. Well, how do we move? Well, I don't know. That's the hard part. That's the difficult part. But and so when I give people, you know, the answers are simple. Yes. But that doesn't mean they're easy. You know, because I'll tell people, you know, I made this video this last week where I said that if you want to overcome your past, the way you do it is just stop thinking about it. And if you want to move on and you're having a problem with it, well, then give yourself new things to think about. Go read something. Go listen to something new. Go bring new thoughts into your brain. And think about those things instead of whatever's holding you back. It's not always easy to do that, but it's a simple answer, and because that's what it is, you know. And I had somebody get mad at me, go, "How dare you?" Because there's people with very serious trauma in their lives, and they need the therapy because they're on. And so I ask, well, then what's the goal of therapy? When you go to a therapist, what are they trying to help you do? And they give me this big, long, you're going to work on these issues, or blah, 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 blah. And then I asked again, well, what's the goal of the therapy? Well, it's this, this, da, 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 da. And he just would not ever admit that what the answer is, oh, the what you go to therapy for is to learn how to stop thinking about the thing that you're obsessing over, deal with it, and move on with your life, because that's what therapy is. Well, guess what? You could do that on yourself. When you decide, I want to move on, and you look at whatever trauma you had, and if people always say, oh, yeah, well, what about this trauma and child abuse, and what about this? Then what about those people? And I always like to say, yes, especially them. You know, oh, you're diminishing the effect of what they experience. Yes, I am. That's what you need to do. You need to mock it, ridicule it, diminish it, and move on with your life. Yes, yes. It doesn't need to become your personality because your uncle did something horrible to you when you were 7. You were 7 years old. Why keep punishing yourself? Why allow to be re-victimized forever? Because of something that was not your fault, you were in the wrong place, the wrong time, a person that you trusted took advantage of you. Yes, you should diminish that and move on with your life. What, you know, and people always say, "Oh, how dare!" Well, what you want people to suffer forever? Is that your solution? Is no, you need it needs to be highlighted. You need to have posters of it in your front room, and every time you meet somebody, you need to lead with that. Oh, I was molested by my when I was 7. You don't need to. You don't need that. You don't need that in your life. It was a horrible, terrible thing. Move on. Move on. Think about new things. You're a beautiful and amazing human being, and you can accomplish so much more. There's so much more to you. That doesn't need to be the lead part of your personality. Yes. 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 Yeah, there's just an innate sense of fairness that we have as children. And there are still children who are selfish. There's no doubt about it. But in general, the majority of us have an innate sense and understanding of what's fair and what's right. Most of us are honorable. Most of us do the right thing. There's more good in this world than there is bad. In fact, the reason that con artists get away with it is because they know that. You know, that's why they'll come up with a sad story to con you out of your money, because we are good people and we want to do the right thing. We want to help people. We want to believe people. We want to be there when somebody's in need, and others take advantage of us because of it. But why does it work? Because it works on the majority of us, because the majority of us are just good people. Yep. Yeah, we want to help. We hate to see other people suffering, you know? Yeah. Yeah, well, I always ask myself, who wants me to believe this and what are they gaining by it? You know, what is it they're, what do they want from me? What is it they need from me? And why are they telling me this? It's all a big game. And it's not just, and I tell people, weirdness is not just about coloring your hair and wearing studs in your nose. Weird is just breaking the tradition. Weird is just not buying into the crap, not feeling compelled to wear the latest styles, not compelled to go along with everything that everybody else is going along with, just to go along with it. I mean, it's truly just being authentic to you and your life and taking care of you and yourself. If we all just took care of ourselves and took care of the people in our lives, the majority of the problems in this world would just go away. Yeah. Yeah. And all these little, yeah, all these things that we thought were gone, they're all coming back. It's so, you know, people, my wife's gotten into making soap, and we're planting a garden this year. We're, you know, we want to do more natural things. We don't want to keep buying all the garbage. Want to do our own thing. Cooking at home. More and more people are cooking at home because going to restaurants is so expensive now. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Yeah. You have to. Yeah. Just we all think that, you know, driving a fast car and having a cell phone is the pinnacle of life, and it's like, it's not. I've been trying to do things where I just leave my phone at home and go do stuff. I go places without my phone, and it seems so weird because, you know, I grew up without a cell phone. I didn't have a cell phone until I was, you know, what was it, though? I think the first cell phone I got, I was about 25, 26. You know, and that was the old flip phone. All you could do was make phone calls on it. That was it. That's all you could do with the thing. And then, you know, 10, 12 years later, all of a sudden, you know, iPhones came out. And since the iPhone came out, I can't think of a single day that's gone by where I haven't had a cell phone in my hand to some degree. And it's like, I just kind of laugh at myself. It's like, I've spent half my life without this thing, and now I can't do anything without it. So now I've just intentionally just leave it alone, turn it off at night and read. And, you know, there's nothing, you're not missing it. I think it's that thing that we think we're missing out. You know, it's like something that happened when I was a kid growing up is we all thought we had to have the TV on all the time. I mean, just as soon as we went someplace and we got home, boy, the first thing we did was turn on the TV. TV was just always on. Whether anybody was watching it or cared for it, it was just the TV was always on. And that's how most people, you know, my generation, when we grow up, the TV was everything. Because you felt like you were missing out on something if the TV wasn't on. And it was like all of this was, the vast majority of it was pre-programmed. I mean, it wasn't like it was live all the time. But the only live thing on TV when I was growing up was the news. And that was kind of live, you know. I mean, it was weird that we still thought that we had to stay connected with everything. We had to. Had to have the TV on. Yeah. 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 Ha ha ha. There you go. I'm just gonna. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, people make fun of old people who just, you know, care, just grow their garden, grow their flowers, and that's all they seem to care about. And it's like, well, yeah, because the world has gotten, yeah, the world's just gotten so pathetic and ridiculous. All the things that you were told are important aren't, you know, anything you bought 10, I mean, think about how many things do you still have that you bought 10 years ago that you really care about? I mean, you might still have it just because you never threw it out, but if it disappeared, you'd probably never care. You know, I mean, all the things that we focus on, we think they're important. I got to have this, I got to have that. None of it. No, you don't. Yeah. As you were talking about Maslow's, as long as your needs are met, you got food, you got water, you got shelter, everything else is just is decorations. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm working on it. We'll see. I'll probably end up just, I don't think anybody's going to pay me to come and speak, so I'm just going to have to just, I'm going to start setting up my own thing and have people come and see me at a conference center and a Holiday Inn somewhere. Well, thanks. Well, thank you. Well, thank you. Well, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you again.